Welcome to episode 6 of season 6. If you just joined, this is Maria, and I'm at Maria Magic with Maria everywhere.
She has no idea where she's from.
No, I can't. I'm still getting used to not saying Maria the Arcane. But I am joined by our supreme goddess, Robin at A Tired Witch on Instagram and everywhere else.
Yes. Hello, everyone. As a reminder, Maria and I are going to be in Chicago June 12th through 15th for the Windy City Parafest. You can either buy tickets to meet us in person, watch our live show, all that, or you can buy tickets to stream it. So head on over to the Windy City Parafest website, which is linked in the bio, to hang out with us. Come hang out. Yeah. And as a reminder, if you use the code COFFEE at checkout, you get a discount. So come on.
Yeah, and there's a live stream too now.
Yeah.
So you can just, if you cannot physically be there, you can be there, you know, using your little phone or computer. Come join us that way.
It's so exciting.
I know. I'm very excited for it. It's going to be a good time. Like, I'm excited for all the other speakers that are going to be there and all that.
Oh, the lineup is crazy. I'm so excited. There are people that are going to be presenting that I'm a fan of that I'm going to be like, hello, fellow presenter. Here we are, two presenters, and in no way am I fangirling right now.
So it'll be my job to make sure Robin doesn't go full out stalker on everybody.
Well, what's going to happen is when I get nervous, you guys are never going to believe this, but I talk too much. that's how I get nervous, is I overcompensate by talking way too much, which is a surprise to literally no one. So that's what's going to happen. You're going to have to tell me to shut up.
That's so funny because I'm the complete opposite. Like, I get really quiet and people are like, is she a bitch?
Like, no. When I get nervous, people are just like, someone shut this bitch up.
Oh, I'm so glad we're going to be on two opposite sides of the spectrum. It's
we're
going to
do
so
really good.
But we also want to mention our class that we have going on April 26th, and that's going to be with the author of The Witch at the Forest's Edge, Christine Grace, and that class is going to be on hedge crossing. Very excited for it. It's going to be really good. Hedge crossing, like, is such a great topic to go over, and we haven't done, like, a class on this, and yeah. I'm very excited to see what Christine has to say because that book
I'm so excited.
So
I think it's going to be really great. I'm so excited. Like, I genuinely cannot wait for it. So join us for that. It's going to be great. as a reminder, we every other week we do coffee talks. Hey, hi, are you new here? We do coffee talks. And in those coffee talks, we take your listener submitted stories about any kind of topic that you think the community would love to hear, but specifically ghost stories. You can email us at submissions@coffeeandcauldrons.com, or you can leave us a voicemail at 351-207-0799. It does have a 3-minute cap, so just call back. We'll smush it all together. It'll be great. And also, next week, I'm going to be recovering from surgery. So we're going to be listening to your coffee stocks, stories, submissions. I can talk. So send them. We want to hear them. We're going to listen to them. So
get in our... I want a really, really good spooky story, guys.
Get in our voicemail. We want to hear your voice.
Make us scared.
I'm ready to be petrified. If you've just joined us, every week we talk about upcoming lunar phases and how you can utilize those in your magical practice. Now, that being said, the nearest to us is the new moon in Taurus. That is going to be April 28th. This is one of those ones where it does fall at a weird time overnight where it ticks over to the 1%. So do check your local moon calendars. Although it is in Taurus both ways.
Yeah.
Whether it's a day ahead or not. So you should be fine. But do check. It might not be the 28th for you, is my point. My point is, yeah, it might be on the 29th. It might be on the 27th. Too,
like, I sometimes celebrate the new moon until like 2%. Like
really? I've never considered doing that. That's
I mean, smart. It's 2%. I mean, come on. It's still new.
It's still milk.
It's still new. and honestly, oh, sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say that, like, I was also, I was reading a book. I forgot which book it was. It was a witchy book. And the author was talking about how, like, celebrating even the dark moon, just like how we do the full moon for, like, 3 days. Like, if you can't see the moon in the sky, it's a dark moon. So, I mean, to me, that resonates, like, but, yeah, just something to consider. Like, look outside. Like, if it's still, like, in that lower percentage, it's still new. Like, you can work with it. It's fine. Anyways, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, this particular new moon, because it is in Taurus, is a very grounded new moon. Mm-hmm. If you're somebody who has ever utilized plants, like living, growing plants, not dried herbs, mm-hmm. Within your magic, I feel like this is a good time to quite literally sow those seeds. I don't know if anybody else works with plants as like a form of like a trigger for protection magic, but I would consider at least taking some indoor plants that can grow, like low or high shade plants that can grow from seed within your house, and utilize them as a form of protection magic. You can also do things like take the exact same kind of energy, or not energy, the same spell work setup, and utilize it for like growing things that you want to see manifest in a real time. But because it is the Taurus new moon, we are expecting slow, steady growth, which is kind of why the plant is such a literal representation of how sometimes spell work takes a little bit longer than, mm-hmm. you know, instant gratification. We can't always Amazon Prime our magic. Mm-hmm. So I would consider, you know, charming some seeds and taking the energy of the plant and its slow growth and tending it and caring it, caring for it as, I don't know, a tool. What do you think?
So whenever when I think of Taurus new moons, like I even said this on the Monthly Outlook, you know that like TikTok like sound like I like a trinket. Always reminds me of Taurus. Like, they can be very good at like saving money, but they also like saving money for like self-care and self-love, you know, like they're the type of person you know, when it comes to like the seven love languages or whatever, they like gifts. And so I like to use like Taurus moons as like a, like save up for something special for yourself. Like, what do you really want for yourself this month that mm-hmm. would like just, you know, make you a little happy and put a little joy into your life that you will enjoy? Like using the new moon and just like setting intentions in order to receive it. This could be like something simple as like writing an intention and like putting it into your money bowl, or even, mm-hmm. you know, just do like a 7-day candle or a little spell jar. Just like, you know, put a little bit of intention behind something that you want.
And if you can't do anything else, you're like, I don't have the spoons, I don't have the time, whatever, for actual spell work, if you can, just get outside, take your socks off, put your feet in the dirt, put your feet in the grass, put your hands in the grass. If mm-hmm. you live in a city and you're like, I'm not putting my body on some dirty pee ground, I get it. So instead, just go outside, maybe buy a little orchid from Trader Joe's. and just kind of hold it and be with whatever little nature you can be. I mean,
go touch a tree. Go pet a tree. Just pet it.
Yeah. Maybe go to your local cemetery and just go sit on the grass for a little bit. Usually those are not covered in pee. I mean, I don't know. I don't know where you live. Maybe that's not the case, but usually.
What an offering.
And to you, I say, urine.
Oh, no. So every episode, we like to talk about some tarot. Previous seasons, we have gone over individual meanings of cards, we've gone over the whole sections of tarot, and we've gone through themes. So if you want to, like, enjoy those, you can listen to our previous episodes and, you know, enjoy them. But this season, we're doing kind of like a shuffle and draw, and it's going to be like a... what's the word that I'm looking for? A reading collective. For everyone. Yeah, for the collective. And if, you know, it doesn't resonate with you, then it doesn't resonate with you. Like, just because it's for the collective doesn't mean you're part of said collective, the larger picture. But yeah, go ahead and Robin's drawing for us today. What deck are you using?
Today I'm using a totally unofficial Adventure Time tarot deck by Catherine Hillier, I think is her name. Mm-hmm. Maria actually got this for me for my birthday, I think, 2 years ago.
I did.
And it's so good. We've been talking about it a lot in Discord. I believe Zoe, one of our Discord members, has it as well. And so people have been chatting about it. And for some reason, the Adventure Time tarot deck just feels very spring to me. So I don't know. I think it'll be fun.
I think so.
So that too. Being said, we have the Four of Coins. I don't know why I'm holding this up. We're not doing video today. We got the Four of Coins, which is also the Four of Pentacles. I think this card is really interesting because it talks about saving and it talks about kind of protecting our financial security. Mm-hmm. Fours in general are all about protection. Mm-hmm. So it puts you in this position of like financial protection. But the problem with this card is that it also has got that check and balance. Saving is really good. Giving ourselves financial security is smart. But make sure that you're not leaning too much into Scroogey mentality. Mm-hmm. You're allowed to also have some fun. So saving without any kind of like enjoyment, any kind of personal spending, just becomes a bit miserly. It becomes a bit Scrooge. And what are you saving for? Mm-hmm. Life is for living, right? And if you're spending all of your life just saving money, but for no reason, for never doing anything, what kind of life is that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I see it as... whenever this pops up in like client readings or anything, it's really an invitation to invest in yourself. You've got to spend money sometimes in order to invest in yourself. I really like when it comes to the fours, I always imagine them as like the bones of a house. What are you building up from your foundations? And this is just kind of like asking you, how are you going to put some finances behind that to create structure as you move forward, like strong financial structure, or even like, cause you know, not always do the pence mean finances. It can mean how are you spending your time and energy? And so like, how can you invest time and energy in yourself right now that will make you feel like you're actually, you know, investing in the right things in your life? Like, it's kind of like asking you, like, where are you putting your time and energy into that isn't really helping you, you know, build up from your strong foundations? Like, what is hurting you more than helping you? But yeah, I think that's important. Like, it's great to save for the future, but you'll save more for the future, whether it be time, energy, or money, if you're actually keep investing in yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. It's that double-edged sword, right? It's the, what are we saving for? Like I said, life is for living. As I, much to her chagrin, say to my grandmother, something about being the richest asshole in the graveyard just doesn't have the, doesn't have the ring to it that maybe we... I don't know. Sounds nice at the time.
Yeah. I mean, it's great to save up for like when we're older and stuff like that. But, you know, when you're, life is about experiences.
It's smart to save for when you're older. It is the financially responsible thing to do.
Are you going to be able to really enjoy it like when you're older? Or you're going to be like, wow, I wish I would have done that.
I always say is like, especially I have little kids right now, right? Mm-hmm. And I mean, I know that you're, child is obviously older, but I also feel like this applies to them, which is that saving is great, saving is amazing, but if I take my kid out to ice cream every single Friday and that costs me what, $10, is that $10 saved worth the kind of emotional investment
mm-hmm.
that I would be losing? And the answer is always no.
Yeah, like, I don't know. You can't, like, memories are so important. That's its own, you know, like, that time and energy sort of situation. Mm-hmm. You don't want to look back and be like, oh, I wish I would have done that more, especially with little ones. Like,
exactly. Know. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
So this week we are going to talk about word witchery, which is actually Maria's favorite topic. So she's going to be kind of steamrolling this one for us this week because it's like one of her favorite things. Mm-hmm. And she's really good at it too.
Thanks.
So Maria, to you, what is word witchery?
Well, I really feel like words have been used for magical purposes pretty much as long as we have had them, you know, from the moment we figured out how to speak, to name, to describe like the world around us. You know, language became a tool, not just as survival, but for shaping reality. And that hasn't like really gone away. You know, a lot of witches still use old magical texts like the Greek magical papyri and the Key of Solomon. These aren't just like dusty old like manuscripts that have just been tucked away. They're like living documents for some practitioners. Like people, witches, we still use them. Even people who don't consider themselves magical will usually admit, you know, words have power. Words inspire, like, you know, and provoke. They change laws. They start revolutions. They shape how we see ourselves like, and each other. And which is like exactly why, like throughout history, you know, the rich and powerful have tried to control them, banned books, censored speech. If words didn't matter, no one would be trying to police them, but they do. So we use them carefully, boldly, and magically. Like, you know, mm-hmm. there's so many different ways to use words in our practice. And it's like, I don't know, words are part of every single practice. And even in like mundane stuff that they're still used magically, like even with Christians who use the Bible, like that is still a magical text for them,
mm-hmm.
you know? And mm-hmm. yeah, like word witchery is just an important part of my craft, as Robin said, but I don't think many witches realize how important it is to their crafts either. But yeah. Do you want to talk about some different ways to use word witchery in our practices? Or do you have anything to say about what it is for you?
For me, word witchery, because I don't utilize word witchery the same way that you do.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it is much more the art, if you will, air quote. You guys can't see this. I'm air quoting. The art of writing charms and writing incantations that to me dance, which I know sounds crazy,
but if I don't have,
if I don't have this kind of flow, this chant, this dance behind what I'm saying, for me, it has no meaning. It has no power. Mm-hmm. Of course, this is very different for everyone. So I'm not sat here saying this is the only way to do it. I'm just saying for me personally, I need there to be rhythm, dance, and within that power for the words to have, you know, power behind it.
Yeah.
Redundant. mm-hmm. So I find it to be something that it's got to be something that I can, like, you know, like how TikTok does those, like, I don't believe in them, but those manifestation sounds that'll be like mm-hmm. ching 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 in the money chings or whatever. I'm probably misquoting and somebody is laughing hearing this, but you know the ones I'm talking about that are like,
yeah, I do.
Oh, use this manifestation sound and you'll be a bajillion dollars. While I don't believe in those, that kind of use of words is what works for me.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's finding, I don't know, poetry. Poetry in words.
Yeah, no, poetry is like, I don't think people realize that a lot of poetry like is magic. Like it's, and with the whole rhythm and stuff like that, like lyrics and stuff like that. That's, I really like looking at lyrics to songs. I really feel like lyrics to songs can be used magically for incantations, or even just using a song in general, you know, just the flow and how it makes you feel energetic, especially when you sing it or like say it out loud with intention. But yeah, for me too, like if you're doing an incantation, like not like a word of power, I feel like it does have to flow and it has to feel good, like coming out of the mouth. It can't be too wordy and it has to get like straight to the point.
It's got to feel good in Maria's mouth, guys.
Yeah, it really does. Like a fine wine, not what Robin's talking about.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
No, but I completely agree. Where it definitely has to have a good rhythm. Like if I'm coming up with like an incantation for something, I probably rewrite it like over and over and over again, just because you're trying to like have it flow really well. You don't want it to be like it hard to say. The whole point of like incantations is for you to, it's easy to memorize. So if you're saying it out loud, you can say it out loud easily without having to, one, stumble over your words, to be able to say it and remember it very, very easily. But yeah. And also I like to use like words of power. I don't know if you use words of power, but like, you know, the words that you like write on a candle that summarize the whole intent.
Yeah. Yep. I totally do.
Yeah. And even just doing that, also, like, if there's a specific word that defines a spell, I like to repeat it, especially, you know, giving that word power. And so let's say that you have a specific spell that you wrote money on your candle or something, and after you have spoken it and said it out loud during the spell, if you feel like you need to get that spell moving, you can always connect back to that energy and that word of power by saying it out loud and maybe even repeating it as like a chant in order for it to like reinvigorate the spell, at least in my experience.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. words of power, I think, are really underrated because they, on surface value, they align too closely with like that affluential white woman, like namaste. Do you know what I'm talking about? They like the manifestation, like on the internet mindset, which I think is pretty toxic. But regardless, I think that when we hear things like words of power, it gets way too closely aligned with that sort of ideation, and so people dismiss it very easily. But I think that they're super important. I think they're really important, and I find them to be really useful, not just in like candle magic, like the example you gave.
Yeah, that was just an example.
Right, but kind of going off of my idea of like, or my point about it being kind of aligned with manifestation stuff and therefore getting dismissed, vision boards. They are good on vision boards.
Yes,
I'm a vision board fan. I think they're great. And I think that utilizing words of power on vision boards as like a big central focus. So like using your example of money, we put the word money, but then like, it's like collage art where you like find things that represent.
I love collage art. Yeah.
It represents the word of power you're using and you cut it into the shape of the letters. Have you seen people do that?
Yeah.
It's so cool. And I think it is really powerful. Like, I don't know.
That's what another I'm saying. Underrated like, thing. Art with craft, like, you can totally incorporate word witchery in it. It's crazy how much like word witchery like does pop up. But and also like I don't think people realize that like automatic writing is also word witchery, which it is
100%.
And obviously there's different ways to automatic write. You know, some people, they write like the same thing over and over and over again until like something new pops up and they just, you know, keep going. Or there's the people who write like squiggly, like, you know, the cursive E over and over and over again until something pops up. But just doing that and like even you know, opening up to words from, you know, the liminal space. Like, I really, that's one of my favorite ways to practice word witchery.
Yeah. I don't know. It's one of those things that I think that word witchery, or just the power of language in general, I think is, because English is such a boring language, while it's incredibly complicated, English is an incredibly complicated language. It's also very literal. Other
languages, yeah.
Yeah, it's also a very literal language. We don't have, like, these poetic words for things that other languages have, romantic languages have. And so I think that, at least in yours and my first language, English, people kind of dismiss it as, like, I don't know, utilitarian. But why can't we take that utilitarian mindset and reapply it to magic, you know?
Yeah.
It can be a tool for more than just conveying our thoughts.
Yeah. And like looking at the past, you know, just like shouting words, you know, as blessing and cursing, you know, like back in. I don't know, like, you know, the impact of words, like, and saying them, you know, it's kind of like bringing the evil eye to life. Or
no, it really is, though. That's such a good metaphor for it.
Yeah, because if someone says something with their full chest in a way of a curse, like, that can have major, you know, implications. It always 100%. Reminds me of that Doctor Who episode where that one person who's a prime minister and David Tennant's character who plays Doctor Who at the time, he goes, isn't she tired? Doesn't she look tired? And this like spreads out around the whole thing. And then everyone's like, she's so tired, you know, like, and it brings down her downfall. And like, but that sort of stuff happens all the time. Like,
it's kind of like, you know how gossip is women's currency?
Women's curses.
Well, it's gossip is women's currency. But there's also, it's also women's curses. It is women's evil eye because, and I'm obviously using women in like the historical sense, how anyone self-identifies.
Obviously, men can be such hot gossips. The non-binaries.
Also, his husband doesn't love the gossip. Not my man. He loves the gossip. It's his favorite thing in the world. But regardless. It is women's currency in the historical sense, and being anti-gossip is being pro-patriarchy. So set that right, jot that down. my point is that sometimes in gossip even becomes fact, even if it's not. Do you know what I mean? It's the power of language. It's the power of words. It's the power of putting intention out there. It's I don't know. It's like it's talking until it's true. And it's kind of like in spell work in general, I always recommend to people never ask for things in spell work. You speak as though it's already happened. So instead of saying like going back to that money example that you gave, instead of being like, I would like a raise, you say, I'm getting a raise. I'm getting a 5% raise. And it's that speaking with intention. It's that the words have meaning and the emphasis behind it has meaning.
Yeah, definitely.
We speak about it as though it's already occurring.
Yeah. And we also, we use a lot of word witchery like when it comes to guide and ancestral work, because that's how we can communicate very well with guides, is writing them letters, writing out letters of intention towards them. And kind of like going back to that song thing, like, I don't know if you, like in your family, if you guys like have a song that, you know, that is connected to certain people who have passed. So you can like sing it or you can say the lyrics out loud. And it's just a way to like connect to their energy outside of like writing letters or stuff like that. Like my grandma, she used to sing like, I am your sunshine to me. So whenever when I need to like, you know, whenever when I need to connect to her energy, I will sing that song because she sang it to me like all the time. And
that's really cute.
And that can be used. That's another thing of like, that can also be like used as an offering. So yeah.
That's really sweet. I think that offerings in the form of word witchery and just poetry, all that in general, is incredibly useful. You and I have talked about this before, about writing letters to your guides. And just like, I think whether the letter is because you're asking for something or doing a letter of a check-in, like you would. Like I write letters basically to my spirits. And some of my family members have joined that spirit army in the last year. And because of that, I write to them as a check-in, like I would if they were still alive. So if I was writing a letter to my grandmother, what would I say? You know, what, here's what's been going on with me. And it's kind of also very healing in some ways to just, I don't know, almost do like a diary check-in about how you've been and like what's going on in your life and changes that have occurred. And it just kind of puts you in this place where you can touch base with your spirits, your guides, whoever. And I feel like there's a lot of intent in the words that you use there. So whether you are asking for something from your, we're going to call it guides for like the big block terminology here, or if you are, you know, just doing a check-in, I think there's a lot of intention behind that with touching base. So I don't know.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I completely agree.
Thanks, girl.
But what is your favorite type of word witchery that you do every day?
Poetry, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. There's so much rhythm in poetry, and I'm not a good poet by any means. This is purely for my own use, right? But there's so much rhythm that you can find, and it kind of goes back to that dance that I was talking about that we have to have in, or that I have to have in spell work, that I just find it very easy to translate with when it comes to poetry.
Yeah.
Not that I'm like a slam poet or something like that. But I do think there's just, I don't know, there's a lot of power in that. What about you?
No, like for creative wise, yes, exactly what you said. I love doing like little poems and stuff like that. I've posted a few too. Well, not like spell poems, but poems. But I do like coming up with like incantations and stuff like that from a creative standpoint for like larger spells. But I think my favorite that I use daily would probably be the words of power. And I really do think even like intention setting, like when you're writing out your intention that you want, or even like saying that intention out loud for what you want to accomplish during the day or like during the new moon or anything like that, is word witchery too. So I do that fairly often too. Like, but yeah, I think creative standpoint, like definitely the poems.
Yeah.
And it's funny.
I feel like I've got to feel it in my body. I have to feel things in my body to have that kind of like energy for my intentions. So for me, that's why
poetry, you know, like going back to like songs and lyrics, like, you know, like when you hear like a great song and it like changes your mood for like the entire day. I really like, as I said, I think songs are like word witchery at its finest. It can literally change everything. And just having that rhythm where it feels good to you and stuff like that, like it's just like, I don't know, a whole different way to like connect with words and use it in your practice.
Yeah. I would like to say before we end this segment, if you're listening and you have a type of word witchery that resonates with you that we haven't covered, I would be really interested to hear what that is.
Yes, please.
I'd like to hear it. So if you've got a different way that you're like, oh, I use word witchery, but not the way you guys have described it, please shoot us a DM. We want to hear it. We'll share it.
Yeah, we will share it next time.
So, Maria, what's stirring your cauldron right now?
Oh, let me tell you. So, finally, my chase tree is finally starting to get some leaves. I feel like out of all of my plants that I have outside, the chase tree is always the last thing to start showing any sort of growth. So when I see the chase tree finally getting leaves and filling out, I'm like, oh, okay, spring is here. now, especially now that the pollen has died down and now things are just getting green now, like, I'm just really glad that spring is here. I need spring. I need to see pretty flowers. I need to go out into, you know, the forest and it not be like forever stick season. I'm just very excited for greenery and going and hunting for plants again and like identifying them and bugging my wife each time we go on a hike, being like, hey, wait a second, I want to identify this plant. Or like, I want to look at it, I want to take pictures of it. I'm very excited for the season. I don't know about her, but I'm very excited.
She's like, help, please send help.
Yeah, just know if you're going to go on a hike with me, you know how like All Trails already lies to you about how long a hike is. Well, it's going to be double the length when you come to me, at least time-wise, because we're going to be stopping. We're going to be looking at stuff and we're going to be enjoying the moment.
You're so funny.
Oh, thanks. It's all the trauma. So, Robin, what is the monster in your cauldron right now?
You know, it's so funny that you should ask me this, because what's not stirring my cauldron right now is exactly what's stirring your cauldron right now.
Yeah, I see
spring
that.
Is on springing,
our,
baby.
Our little thing.
I know. I literally copied what you wrote because I was like, funny you should say that. But I am actually very pro spring. I want to emphasize that at the beginning. I've started mm-hmm. my garden. All that is really great, but I have seasonal allergies really bad, and the pine is currently coming down in blankets.
So it's outside. It's your turn.
So it's my turn, and I am like dying. We went to my parents' house yesterday actually for dinner, and we mm-hmm. were just sitting outside like as a family while the kids were playing, and they have a bunch of pine trees like right in their backyard, and my eyes, I was like, sat there just rubbing my eyes like, dear Lord, if there is a God, my name's Robin. Please save me at this time. Yeah, my eyes were just like so fucked. So yeah, that's spring is springing. And what's not stirring my cauldron is that I need to get allergy eye drops so badly and I haven't done it yet.
Go get it done. Don't suffer.
Yeah.
Don't suffer.
Yeah. So if you've just joined us this week, every week we talk about creatives that we are loving right now. This could be anybody from artists, social media accounts, books, other podcasts, just anything that we're loving. And this is not an ad. This is just stuff we've organically found. We are also taking listener submissions. So if you have somebody that you think the community should hear about, shoot us a message, email us, send us a DM, whatever. We would love to shout out people that you, the listeners, think are great. Mm-hmm. That being said, Maria, who are you into right now?
Speaking of our main topic, for my birthday, my wife got me Poetry as Spellcrafting, which has been on my like want list for a good while.
A minute.
Yeah. And it's by Tamiko Bearer and Destiny Hemphill and Lisbeth White. And it's just a great book. If you really want to get into word witchery and doing like, you know, how Robin said, like creating like rhythm with words and using, you know, setting intentions with incantations using poetry, like this is the book for you. It's such a beautiful book. It even like, look at the cover. I'm going to show you. Like, so pretty.
That is beautiful.
Right? And I don't hear, like, I haven't heard anything about this book, but I've also been, like, off of social media as of late for a little bit, for a hot minute. And I don't know, like, it needs to be shown more because it's a beautiful book. and beautifully written. So definitely check really it out pretty, if you want to learn more about word witchery. So how about you? Who you loving?
So mine is this social media account. I've actually sent it to the Discord a few times. Mm-hmm. It's called moon_bright.kz. And they utilize herbs for intention plus wax to hand make these candles, these intention candles that, listen, I want to buy some first and foremost, but I'm also like, I want to make some candles like that. And I know you had said in the Discord that you forgot you can make candles like that. So there's the implication you've already done this.
In my early 20s, I used to make candles like this all the time. Like,
so cool.
It's so fun.
It looks fun. It looks cool. I'm like, I want to do that. So I think I'm going to. I'm going to. So that is my plan. I'm so stoked on it. Just, how cool. I want to buy some from them because obviously I've been inspired by them. Beautiful. And so I want to support the artist. But wow, they're beautiful. And it just makes me want to get my hands in some wax.
And there's no way, like, I myself can replicate anything like some of these, especially like their evil eye candle. It was very, very, very cool. And incorporating like different types of wax. But I think it's, you know, it's putting your hand, literally using your hands to shape it and to mold it. It's just, it makes it so much, like, it just puts a whole other layer than just, like, dipping candles. You're putting, you know, you're putting your foot into that candle, your hands, but your
foot. So cool. Literally so cool. Our listener submission this week is a social media and artist account called Silly Sculptures. They're really neat. They're really cute. They're like the one that is like, I think it's pinned. I'm not sure. I'm gonna look right now to confirm that I'm not talking out my butt. but the ones at the top of their page, they're not pinned. They're just at the top of the page. Are these like cupcakes? They're like sculptures that are cupcakes that have faces, and there's like roses on them. And there's like, I don't know, like if it's meant to be blood or just like paint or whatever, but it's giving very much like a painting the roses red vibe as a cupcake. It is very much silly. Like, I know they're called silly sculptures, but they are silly and they're fun and cute. And they've got like candles that are melting. I don't know. I think it's cute. And I think that a lot of you guys will really like this account.
Yeah, I love like the Tim Burton vibes, especially with the new ones. It's like, you know, the whole Alice in Wonderland. Like,
yeah.
These are so cool. People are so talented. They're
so cool.
People are so talented. If you guys
have somebody that you think that everybody would like to see, don't forget to message us. We want to share. So please do. Well, thank you all so much for joining us today. We hope that you will join us again on Friday, April 23rd for our next Coffee Talk episode, or April 30th for the 7th episode of Season 6. You can keep an eye out on our social media or head to our website, coffeeandcauldrons.com, to find out more information and see what we're up to. And don't forget to join us April 26th for our class with Christine Grace, author of Witch at the Forest Edge, for her class on hedge crossing. As a reminder, this class will be sold individually as well as joining the library tier. So you can just buy the class for $10 if you don't wish to sign up for the subscription. We hope to see you there.
Yeah, come join us. And additionally, our Patreon Magical Beginnings. We have a huge library of articles about witchcraft, a Discord community full of fun events and discussions. And we even have tiers to offer one-on-one conversations with Robin and myself. So consider joining us, like, especially our Discord. We have such an amazing community on there. There's so many amazing people to talk to and to learn from. Like, love them.
So good.
Love them
so much. We've been getting feedback recently from people who have just joined being like, you can just tell that there's a good community here. So join us. We'd love to have you. Mm-hmm. And please, if you are loving our sexy, sensual, so chef's kiss voices, take a moment to review us on whatever streaming service that you are tuning in from, whether that's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or somewhere else. We love reading your reviews and just rating us at all, whether it's 5 stars or less, although we hope not less. Mm-hmm. It helps us to be seen by others. So thank you for everyone who already has and everyone who will in the future. We appreciate you.
And again, this is Coffee and Cauldrons.
With Robin from At a Tired Witch Everywhere.
And with Maria from Magic with Maria Everywhere.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
One, two, three.
Bye. That sounded so good. We're in harmony. Beautiful.